Then let's get some of this word into us, okay? This is, we're official this year. We have palms. I'm not sure where that came from, but I can miss all of them, I'm certain. But it is Palm Sunday, you know, Palm Sunday, the celebration of the triumphal entry of our Lord, okay? So, obviously, we may be right on with having palms in the building, but I'm not exactly right on with the scripture that I'm using once again, but maybe I am. Because I believe I am, because I believe that the Lord has put these things in my heart. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. That's Colossians 2:8. Now, we use the same verse on Wednesday night because it starts out with beware. And we talked about beware. Guard these things, because if you begin at the beginning of Colossians and you read through, it talks about wonderful things, about how He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. By Him were all things created. Get those truths in your heart. Get the truth in your heart that you've been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that you've been translated from the power of darkness into the power of God. Get all these things in you, and then it says beware. Okay? To beware of something is like saying duck, watch out. You know, Bernie just said that he puts the headphone on one side, he's listening, on the other side, he's being aware. Okay? And what's coming in this ear is helping him to beware on this ear. Because if he's got the Word of God coming into him, he'll know what the cow's going to do before the cow comes at him. Now, that doesn't mean he slaps both headphones on and says, well, bless God, protect me. No, that means that he's being aware. He's being wise. The Word's getting in him, and he's being aware that nothing's going to come and steal his body while his spirit's being fed. Beware. Beware lest you be cheated through philosophy and empty deceit. Beware lest natural thinking steals from you. Beware lest when the Spirit of God says one thing to you and your feelings and your emotions and someone else says something to you, beware lest you be cheated. Beware lest you have a word from God and then you get a word from the doctor and the word from the doctor tries to shove out the word you have from God. They have a good and a perfect gift, but if it's not mixed with faith, it doesn't have quite the power that it could have. And so that's where we come in when it comes to doctors and things. Our prayers empower their wisdom if they don't understand how to make that work, because we have the Word of God dwelling in us. Beware lest you forget what's in you. Beware lest you allow a religious philosophy even to rob you. Beware. Okay? So now then, we're moving all the way to the fourth word of that scripture, lest you be cheated. Now, the Lord spoke to me about this, and I began to think about Jesus. And I began to think about, you know, today we celebrate Him riding in triumphantly. And I got to thinking, I wonder if He ever felt cheated. Well, I think Bernie confirmed that he does, from time to time, feel cheated. Now, listen, the way that God thinks is so amazing. Because when He is being cheated of our praise, He's not thinking about Himself. He's thinking about being cheated because He can't do what He wants to do for us because we won't help Him. Just imagine this. Just imagine that I have a $100 bill in my hand and I'm coming to shake somebody's hand and they won't shake my hand. They missed a blessing, right? Because they wouldn't. So, you know, there are a few people that I know that might not shake my hand if I went to him. But I know you would, Dorn. Oh, I know. I know that. But if I held out my hand to you, you'd also take my hand. And then we'd say, what's with this? And I'd say, just take my hand, because I would know you wanted to give me a hug. But let's just understand that there are perhaps people who don't want to shake our hand. Well, we're not people who don't want to receive from God. But sometimes, for one reason or another, we hesitate to do those things that we actually know we could, should, oughta. You know? And so, yes, sometimes the Lord obviously does feel cheated. But I wondered about this, since now I have the confirmation, I can speak with even more understanding. But, you know, he came into that city. Could he listen to their cheers and enjoy them? Or would he have contempt for them, knowing that they were going to deny him very soon? Well, see, I think Jesus had life. And so I think that he could thoroughly enjoy the Hosanna in the highest. I think he could receive that because he knew it was what he really deserved. I don't think that he went through going, yeah, right. Yeah, cheering for me today, but I know what you're going to say about me later. You know, I think he could enjoy it as it came. I don't think that he got on the donkey to go through the town going, woe is me. A little glory and then a lot of pain. I don't think that he sat around feeling sorry for himself or feeling cheated or wondering why God didn't do it a different way or anything like that. Because you see, by the time he rode into the town, he knew what he was riding into. And he knew that some of the very same people who were cheering for him now would holler, crucify him later. But he also knew something else. He knew that if they could just see him for who he was, it would change everything. And he knew that the only way that anybody then or now would ever be able to see him the way that he was, he would need to finish what he began. Because he said, once I leave and the Holy Spirit comes, then he will reveal all truth. Once he was gone and the Holy Spirit came, that was why 3,000 people said, whoa, that was who was on the donkey when Peter preached. But not everybody saw him even then. But as we were singing today, open the eyes of my heart, God just spoke to my heart. You see, they didn't see him clearly as he came in. Those who were shouting Hosanna because they had heard a man's philosophy. Man's philosophy said he was coming and maybe they would make him king now. And they certainly wanted to be on the king's side. But once he was arrested, they no longer saw him as the king. They saw him as the arrested. They no longer saw him as powerful. They saw him who was one who was under the power of one who was more powerful. And they saw the one who was more powerful as one who could do harm to them. And so they also saw that since he was not going to take his rightful place, then the religious leaders, were still going to be in the place of power, and the religious leaders who were in the place of power were still going to be able to throw them out of the synagogue. So when they said, holler, crucify him, they said, we better go with the ones who have the most power, because they did not see that he had the most power. We need to see who has the most power all the time. And so as the week progresses, and suddenly on next Sunday morning, when Jesus is alive and well, now a few people see, whoops, he had the most power. Well, you see, we are so blessed because it's been given to us to understand the beginning up until now, so that we now can see that he has the most power. And when we can see that he has the most power, then we can have a call that says, Dad's not going to be around, and we can go and say, Dad will live and not die. When we can see that God is more powerful, you know, I know the feeling of not knowing for sure what is going on. When my mother and I walked into the hospital and there was a code blue, and we walked into my dad's room and he was the code blue, I never considered that he was code blue. I considered, I think we need to pray. And when I began to pray, they all prayed with me. Now, we all know my dad ended up going to heaven, but my dad stuck around till my brother got there. My dad stuck around till everybody could say goodbye and give him a hug. And then my dad said, "Que sera, sera. I'm out of here, boys. You'll be okay. Take good care of your mother. I'm gone." He didn't say all those things, but obviously he decided it was going to be all right. He made the right choice. That was his choice. We gave him his choice. We didn't have any business interfering with his choice. But you see, those people, when he rode in, just couldn't see him. And because they couldn't see him, they were cheated. And he was cheated. We've all been cheated at one time or another, right? We've all felt betrayed. We don't love it, do we? Anybody here that just says, "Oh man, it's good to be cheated again"? You know, I love it when my friends betray me. There are, you know, some of us might even know that there are people who smile and talk to us nicely, and we know that they've been talking not so nicely about us recently, or maybe we figure they'll be still talking about us not so nicely afterwards. And the thing I would like to be able to really be able to do and do well, and that is to not be protecting myself when I know that that's going on, but rather to just go ahead and enjoy and plant the seeds and not have to think the minute that I walk away, "Yeah, well, that was about as phony as baloney can be." And we just say, "Hey." Mm-hmm. Yeah, so after a few years of being saved and not everybody really enjoying it, I began to just make a declaration, "Everybody loves me. How could they not?" Sometimes my wife could tell me how they could not, but no. But, you know, I mean, you either are going to sit around and cheat yourself and cheat God, because you see, if we don't let God do His work in us mightily, who gets cheated? We cheat Him and we cheat ourselves. Now, this was not necessarily the most comforting understanding that I got from this, because it made me very aware of the fact that I have, in fact, cheated God. I don't like cheating myself. I don't like missing what God has for me by my own. Because you see, if we don't think according to God's Word, if we don't allow that Word that dwells in us to come out of us, we do cheat ourselves, because it can't produce what God wanted it to produce in the first place. And I don't like to see myself robbed, but I understand, obviously, that I've done that. But what really bothers me is that when I do that, I also cheat Jesus. And man, the idea that I cheat Jesus really bugs me. Because see, previous to this, I never really saw it as cheating Jesus. Nor did I see it as cheating on Jesus. I saw it as God still working on me. Well, which is easier to correct, or to begin to correct, than thinking from the standpoint of, "Well, God's still working on me, that's pretty pleasant. I'm cheating God, that's not so pleasant. So maybe I better not just sit around and wait for God to keep working on me, I better start working on me too. I better have an awareness of what is going on, so that I stop that before anything can happen." Like I said, I think Jesus received their adoration. I think He received it. I think He enjoyed it. I think it probably strengthened Him for the trial that laid ahead of Him. Jesus was a man full of the Holy Spirit. How many of you ever need strengthening? How many of you can use a little encouragement? You know? A little strengthening and encouragement goes a long way to put us over the top. I think that was very encouraging for Jesus, because I really think that it was a glimpse of how things were supposed to be. Even though they couldn't see the end from the beginning, even though they were basing it on sort of a false idea, for that little bit of time, they loved Him. And they wanted Him to be crowned king. And they wanted to be in on the people who crowned Him. And so, whether they were a little mixed up or not, they were hearty in their praise. Hearty in their love for God. You know, we may not always have it perfect, but we should always do it powerfully. We may not always have perfect understanding, but I think that as we seek, we'll get the perfect understanding if we don't lose heart. Amen. Now, some of those people in that crowd, not everyone in that crowd, hollered, "Crucified Him." There were some who still had hope. There were some, like Bernie's mom, who came crying and saying, "I still have hope." Now, I think that she said that for a couple reasons. I think, one, because her conversations with her son had given her hope. I think that He was the light. I think that your family is the light and the power and the ones that give that. And that's because you've got it in you. And what we've got in us, we can get back out. We need, as Sue shared about, you know, them finding a gem and then turning it into a super gem by cutting it into pieces so that they can resell it. I think that we are seeing that if we will look at it, we can see that it's nothing for the Lord to help. We just need to know where the things are. James is going to get out of school and he needs to find a bunch of gems, don't you, James? And it's going to be in seeking the Lord. It's going to be with God's favor. That's where we all get all that we get from God, is with God's favor. And if we skip the favor of God, then we cheat ourselves. Now, we are most likely to fix this kind of thinking, to fix this way of living, first and foremost, by seeing that we're cheating ourselves and we no longer want to cheat ourselves. Okay? No matter what we may say or what we may do, on a large scale, we really do care most about ourselves. And that's good, because Jesus wants us to care about ourselves. Because if we won't take care of ourselves, we won't take care of anything else either. And so it's important that we understand that part of it. Because then we will no longer cheat ourselves in that area. Okay, here's the overflow of that. When we cease to cheat ourselves, we cease to cheat God. When we cease to cheat God, then we have an overflow and we cease to cheat other people as well. Because you see, if we, who have understanding, do not allow the Spirit of God to flow through us into other people's lives, then we cheat those people. We may not change their life overnight, but if they don't have a seed, we have cheated them, because we have the perfect gift at our disposal. And so, there are times when cheating ourselves bothers us the most. There are times when cheating others bothers us the most. At a time when someone dies, we always have those wonderings. Did we talk to them? Did we tell them? Did they know Jesus? We knew, and if we didn't tell them, we think, did we cheat them? When it comes to ourselves and we realize that we have missed something that we know God could have done, then we wonder, I cheated myself. Bottom line, when we have all of this working together, the thing that bothers us the most is cheating God. I don't want to cheat God. You know, I mean, I can live with myself missing something that God had for me. You know, I mean, I can live with that. I don't like it, but, you know, it's like, okay, I now have found it. I'm going back after it. And if somehow or another my failure has cheated someone else, God will forgive me. And even though I know God will also forgive me because ultimately I cheated Him, that really bothers me because He doesn't deserve to be cheated. He didn't do anything wrong. Someone else may have resisted the truth. Someone else may have made me mad. Another person, well, you know, maybe it could have worked out better. They might have made their own problem. I can rationalize that at least. Doesn't change it. God still needs to forgive me. But He never deserves to be cheated. He deserves to be set upon the throne of our lives, and He deserves to remain in that place. That's what He deserves. When we do cheat someone else, though, remember, the Bible says if you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it also unto me. See, we begin to grow in our understanding when we cease to be willing to just let things slide. We should all periodically, throughout the day, at different times, just be reminded to praise the Lord. We should just do it out of a habit. I try to remember to call my mother every morning. First of all, to make sure she's taking oxygen and that she's with us, or, you know, and find out what's going on. That's an honest thing. I don't want to miss her for 3 or 4 days and then find out, I should have been over there. I want to check on that because I care. Well, I want to check on God. I care. I do care what's important to Him. And if I'm not checking in, I'm missing out on something. And so, I just have to acknowledge, I don't know if it certainly isn't proudly, and I guess it would not, I don't know if it's ashamedly, whatever it is, but I acknowledge that absolutely I cheated myself. And by cheating myself and by not standing upon the Word of God at different times, I've cheated others. I've robbed them of something that God might have had for them. You know? I mean, hey, what if we just robbed somebody of a kindness that they deserved? Because you were there and you could have been kind. What if we robbed someone of a smile when we could have smiled? Because you can. Well, see, a lot of times we aren't smiling or being kind because maybe we're upset about how we feel like we've been cheated. We all know when we've been cheated, don't we? And, you know, there's a lot of people in this world, and if you're one of them, man, just get over it. There's a lot of people in this world who do not enjoy the next good thing God has for them because they're still grumbling about how they got cheated. You know, I told Shiloh last night, I said, just get over it. She's always joking about this, but when we watched the basketball game, she said, yeah, watch out, or they'll call one after the foul, and then you lose. And she'd go, I said, oh, just get over it. It's done, okay? We're done with that. It's a sad deal. That's what happened to Heimer at the district tournament. You know, I mean, the game was over. We won. We were the district champions. We didn't get to play in the region. Okay, it's over. We ain't going to change it. But we can change our attitude about it. We can encourage other people. We can do whatever the case might be. But a lot of times, that's the fact. We're still grumbling about something behind and not able to see what's ahead. Yeah. There are people who get you know, so bitter about somebody that did them wrong that if that person who could do them good now wanted to, it wouldn't let them bust God because they did them wrong before. And a lot of times those people that did you wrong don't even know they did you wrong. They aren't really worried about it. They aren't losing a bit of sleep about it. And you have missed every kind of opportunity and cheated the Lord out of every kind of opportunity to reach out and to touch them because, bless God, they did you wrong. Well, who are you? We get to thinking we're so much sometimes. Like, we're the only ones that have ever been done wrong. At least what was done wrong to us was more than anybody ever did wrong to anybody else. Oh, come on. Don't take everything so personal. Jesus gives us the power and the understanding and the reason to get over it so that we can get on with it. He said, man, bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for my name's sake. Woo! Great is your reward in heaven. Hallelujah. Just imagine what God wants to do for you, to you, and through you. And then tell Him how wonderful He is. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. And I, for one, I just don't want to cheat Him anymore. And I don't want to be cheated anymore. And I don't want to be found cheating anyone else anymore. It's not becoming of a child of God. Jesus never cheated anyone. Ever, never. And He said, this is the way, walk in it. I don't want to cheat you anymore, Lord. I just don't want to cheat you. So Lord, every time I have an opportunity to love, make me love. To forgive, forgive. To provide, provide. To bless, bless. To defend, defend. To protect, protect. To do all of those things and that everything that I do might bring glory to God. If there's something that I do that does not bring glory to God, then Lord, remove it from my life. You know? Father in heaven, we praise You. You are so good. So wonderful. Father, in Thessalonians, Paul wrote about how he had delivered the word in power. And how the Thessalonians, how their very lives confirmed that they'd heard the right word. That they had received the word with joy. And that they became examples to everyone everywhere of what Your word was able to do in their lives. That's our desire, Lord, that people would be able to experience visually, physically, and emotionally, and every other way that there is, what Your word is able to do because of what it does in our lives and through our lives. We shout Hosanna in the highest. And we don't intend to change our mind and change it to crucify You. Our plan is to bring You glory and honor and praise forever and ever. And to live in the very power of the resurrection that this week culminates in. In Jesus' name, amen.